Isn't that beautiful? So we're all here trying to present to God our little pebbles and rocks. And he's offering us a diamond. And he's saying, it's yours. Just receive it by faith. Stop trying to earn it. And if we walk up and say, hey, you know what? I'll give you this handful of limestone for that diamond. And how would you respond to that? Yeah, no. No, you can't buy it. I'll give it to you. If you'll take it by faith. Saul, why are you persecuting me? Because Saul was trying to earn his righteousness by works of the law. He was trying to prove to God how good he is. Well, Saul, whether he's resisting or whether he's genuinely confused at this point, is kind of an open question, because he asks this question, who are you, Lord? He doesn't see him, of course, because he's got his head buried in his hands and he's fallen on the ground. So he doesn't see who's standing there. He just hears the voice. And this is kind of a natural question. Who are you? And so the Lord responds, I'm Jesus, whom you are persecuting. So imagine hearing that. Everything you have built your entire life upon, just like we sang. Everything I've built my life upon. Imagine hearing that your entire life has been dedicated to destroying the one person you have to answer to. And Saul suddenly realizes all that anger, all that rage that I have been exercising towards these Christians wasn't at them, it was at him. And he's not dead. He's very much alive. And he's standing here in front of me, and I'm on my face on the ground in front of him. I'm at his mercy. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Now, once again, I'm going to point out to you, what's the first word in verse 6? Here says, and. There are a couple of different words in Greek for the word but. Some of them are sort of a weaker connection and can be translated and or now or meanwhile, things like that. They serve as connectors in the flow of the narrative. This one is a strong contrast. It really should be translated but. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. So think of this. Why is Saul heading to Damascus? I want to kill Christians. I want to drag them off to prison at the very least. If I can get them dead, that's great. Jesus steps in and says, I'm going to change everything. You're turning around. Not in your destination, because where does he tell him to go? I want you to go into the city. And Saul says, I was already going into the city. Yeah, but I'm going to send you into the city for a whole new reason. You're not going there to kill Christians anymore. You're going there to become one. You're going there to throw off all of the purposes that you had been living for, and you're going to acquire a new one. So you were heading into the city for one reason, and I'm completely changing it. This instrument of suffering, Saul, when he comes face to face with this blinding truth, has to come out with a new purpose. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do. So there's more you're going to have to learn here. And in fact, when Paul repeats this account for us twice, we're going to find him repeating this account. Once when he is addressing the Jewish people in Acts 22, and once again when he's addressing Felix, the governor, in Acts 27. He's going to repeat this account. And every time, it gets longer. Now, is that because Paul's remembering things badly? No, it's because Luke is a good storyteller. And he expands it each time to tell us there actually was more that was spoken by the Lord Jesus. And it's in the final account where we read that Jesus says, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks, right? So we know by that statement, Saul has been sort of wrestling internally with what he's doing. And Jesus knows that and he points it out. And now he's bringing him to a point of decision. You got to decide which way you're going to go. You can't ride the fence here. You're either going to continue trying to prove your own righteousness and persecute me, or you're going to bow before me and call me Lord. And so, he also tells him that this part of this change in purpose has to do with his apostolic ministry. We've pointed out several times in the book of Acts that Acts is not necessarily a normative book. The things that happen in Acts aren't supposed to be continuing to happen throughout the rest of the church age. So how many of you, Jesus appeared to you and told you where you're going to find the gospel? And if any hands come up here, I'm going to be troubled. Okay? How many of you, the Lord sent another person to tell you? That should be every hand, okay? Go ahead and raise your hand now. Somebody told you the gospel, right? Yeah. Because that's the normative for the church age. We are supposed to be preaching the message. That's why Jesus gave us the Great Commission. Go into all the world, preach the gospel. Make disciples of all nations, teaching them to, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all the things that I've commanded you. That's our responsibility. Just like the farmer plows and plants, we have a responsibility to be going out there scattering the gospel. He's the one that'll make it grow. But we're responsible to tell. Well, then why does Jesus appear to Saul here? Because he's unique. Who chose the 12? Jesus did. Handpicked them. Because they're apostles. Later on, Saul is going to start writing of himself and using a little bit different name. He's going to use the name Paul. But what else is he going to call himself? An apostle. Who appoints apostles? Only the Lord can appoint apostles. That's why they're not a gift that is an exercise in the church today, because there aren't any left. They died off. We don't need them because the church has been founded. The apostles and prophets are the foundation of the church. Jesus is selecting Paul and appointing him as an apostle, and that's why there is this very unique, miraculous conversion. Because Jesus himself says, Paul, you're mine. I'm going to turn you around, and I'm going to show you what things you must suffer for my name's sake. We're not going to cover the entire passage. I had hoped to cover it today, but that's all right, because we can leave ourselves right there with that fantastic thought. Paul, the instrument of suffering, dedicating his life to destroying people that believed in Christ. Why? So that he could exalt himself and make himself look better. Encounters the blinding truth of the reality of Jesus. And it sets his life in a whole new direction. Gives him a new purpose. Actually defines the purpose. As I was a young man, first saved, hearing people sharing their testimonies so often, I heard people say they felt this weight of guilt lifted from them. And that made me struggle for a little while, because I didn't have that sensation. Mine was not an emotional experience, but what I remember most about coming to faith in Christ was realizing suddenly and very dramatically that life has purpose. Life has meaning. And it's not about me, it's about Him. It's been a long road learning how that works out in life, as it is for all of us. And though Jesus is not going to appear to you personally to share the gospel with you, He's going to send someone else to do it. The reality is, it still is the same effect. That change of purpose, that change of mind, it's a place that we all have to come to, and that's why Paul can write later in 2 Corinthians, we proclaim not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let the light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. What he saw on that road in reality, we perceive spiritually. That moment somebody shared the gospel with you and God pulled the veil off of your eyes and he gave you understanding in your heart and mind to say, yes, that's true. I believe it. It's the same effect Christ has shown in your heart to let you understand who Jesus is, and he completely changed the direction of your life. Now, can we sing about the cross? I'm going to have Dan come here. We'll finish the rest of the passage next time.